Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Please ensure that all cell phones are turned to silent. An equal world is an enabled world, all day, every day. Individually, we're all responsible for our own thoughts and actions, all day, every day. We can actively choose to challenge stereotypes, fight biases, broaden perceptions, improve situations, and celebrate women's achievements. Collectively, each one of us can help create a gender-equal world. Today is March 8th, 2020, International Women's Day. An equal world is an enabled world. How can we help forge a gender-equal world? Celebrate women's achievement, raise awareness against bias, take action for equality. When? All day, every day. Let us begin with our call to worship. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Everyone who believes in the Son of God may not perish, but have eternal life. God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Let us worship God. Let us continue with our prayer of praise and adoration together. You keep your eye upon us, O God. You protect us as a shield. You give us hope in spite of the disquiet that lingers within us. You lift our spirits and make us glad. All creation sings your praise. We, your people, Lord, your name. Hear us as we worship and speak to us as we gather. For we seek to be filled with your spirit and made alive in your abiding world. Please stand for our processional hymn, We're Cross in Crowded Ways of Life, number 408, verses 1 and 4 through 6.
Cup of water. Yet long these multitudes to see the sweet compassion of. Till all the world shall learn and follow. Please be seated.
Let us continue with our prayer of confession in unison. You call us to become pilgrims, to follow you in a journey of faith. we would find it easier to follow when not so much is at stake. But you promise that you will be with us and that other needs will be met. We cling to our possessions, trusting in them for security. You lead us into unfamiliar places, asking that we trust in your will. Oh God, your way is challenging when we choose to be complacent. You make great demands. We are anxious and uncertain. Have mercy upon us and forgive our hesitant steps towards the promise. Amen.
For the sake of the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Our faith depends on him from start to finish, and he unceasingly intercedes on our behalf. So therein lies and abides our hope and our assurance. Know that in Jesus Christ we find forgiveness. Amen.
We now come to a point in the service where we go over our joys and concerns of the people. If you look at your parish press, you'll see that we will have coffee and fellowship hour after service today. As mentioned in the intro, all day, International Women's Day today. You will have more information on that during a minute of mission. On March 10th, the Photo Club Winter Spring Session number 8. Again, it's never too late to join. You can always see Jim Collier, who's present today, if you're interested in joining the Photo Club. The deacons will meet on that same day at 7 p.m. Our Lenten Bible Study Session number 2 continues on Wednesday, March 11th. Those that are free, we encourage you to come and join. It's a wonderful moment to study the word with Pastor and your brothers and sisters from his congregation. So that Bible study, session number 2, is on Wednesday, March 11th at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday at 7 o'clock, worship and music committee meeting. On the 14th at 10 a.m. at Saturday, House and Grounds will meet. And session will be meeting again on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. You'll see some announcements here. Bergen County Care Fair will be meeting on May 3rd. Well, that's scheduled for May 3rd at noon, between noon and 4 p.m. Anyone that's interested can read that information. The Board of Deacons continues their mission with the power of pennies. We encourage you all to drop your pennies in the jar that we have placed around the sanctuary and in the church and in Hughes Hall. So if you have any pennies or you want to donate any kind of funds, you can do so by placing the money in the jar for the power pennies. This is an annual fundraiser that the Board of Deacons are sponsoring. There's a memo here for PSE&G users. Also, the Presbyterian Women of the Presbytery of the Palisades spring gathering is April 25th, 2020. Also today at 4:30, it's a wonderful day to go to a jazz concert, so there's Jazz in the Spirit at 4:30 p.m. at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Teaneck on 118 Chadwick Road. Do we have any visitors today? I think I've seen all family and friends here. Do we have any prayer cards that have been filled out? If so, can you please hold those up and the ushers will collect those? Recently, I went and saw an old friend and extended the right hand of fellowship to him, and he kind of backed off, and I didn't feel disrespected, but it was a little uncomfortable. So we know that during this time, some people may not want to shake hands. So what we have done and implemented, we are asking everyone to use the Taiwai format. And I know you see it in your bulletins. That is simply the prayer position and bowing to that person. And while you do so, send a prayer their way. Are we all good for that?
Yes.
We can all do that? Amen. Amen to that. Okay. So, as we do that, let's have a brief time of friendship before we dismiss the kids. Okay?
To this entire session. Bless you.
Elder Menin Matthias Fredericks, would you please come forward?
All right.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So this is a beautiful day.
Amen.
And this is the day the Lord hath made. So I will be brief. I just want to mention a couple of things. Does anyone know why I'm wearing purple?
Because it's Lent.
Lent. Yes. And today is also International Women's Day. Beg your pardon, Pastor.
Okay.
So we have two reasons to wear purple today. So, see, I got out of that one well, right?
Okay.
So International Women's Day is a global day celebrating social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity, gender equality. It has been occurring for over a century and continues to grow. Purple signifies justice and dignity. So, in 1908, 15,000 women marched through New York City demanding shorter hours, better pay, and voting rights. So the Presbyterian Women in 2020, moving forward quickly, call today Celebrate the Gifts of Women Sunday. We honor women of faith today. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the Presbyterian Women have sent out literature honoring women's spirituality, struggle, and survival. All of this information is on their website. So the piece that I wanted to add is that Ms. Edna Anderson and has been a member of the Presbyterian Women for quite a long time. And she sits back there. And they are hosting, Presbyterian Church of Teaneck is hosting the 2020 Spring Gathering for the Presbyterian Women of the Presbytery of the Palisades on Saturday, April 25, from 9:15 to 12:45 here at the church. The theme is Sacred Friendship and the Abundance of God. Please join us for a wonderful event. Thanks.
Our youth, Desiree Atondo, will now lead us in scripture.
Our first scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a, found on page 9 of your pew Bibles. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse, and by you and all the families of the earth shall bless themselves." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. Our second scripture reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, found on page 89 of your pew Bibles. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a good teacher, come from God, for no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things that you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
everyone, but excuse me, but I forgot to dismiss the children, and we also forgot to collect the prayer cards. So before we have our anthem, Heather, can we dismiss the children and collect the prayer cards?
Jesus loves the little children.
according to the Christian History Institute. A man named George Benard was struggling with personal problems that were causing him a great deal of trouble and anguish. In his suffering, his mind returned again and again to Christ's anguish on the cross. This, he thought, was the heart of the gospel. The cross, he pictured, was not ornate or pretty or gold or silver. It was a rough, splintery thing stained with gore. George Benard was under the influence of our text for the day, John 3:16. I saw the Christ of the cross, he said later, as if I were seeing John 3:16 leave the printed page, take form, and act out the meaning of redemption. We all know John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so in a room in Albion, Michigan, Benard sat down and wrote a tune. But he struggled with the lyrics. In fact, he could only come up with one line. He struggled for weeks to set words to the melody he had written. Then Benard, a Methodist evangelist, was scheduled to preach a series of messages in New York. He found himself focusing on the cross. The theme of the cross grew increasingly more urgent to him. He struggled once more with the words to his hymn. This time, the lines came. He later told a friend, I sat down and immediately was able to rewrite the stanzas of the song without so much as one word failing to fall into place. I called in my wife, took out my guitar, and sang the completed song to her. She was thrilled. On June 7, 1913, George Benard introduced the new hymn in a revival meeting he was conducting in Michigan. The words went like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The old rugged cross became one of the most popular hymns of the 20th century. What impressed me, however, was how Benard described his feelings as he struggled to bring his feelings to the printed page. He said, I saw the Christ of the cross as if I were seeing John 3:16 leap from the printed page, take form, and act out the meaning of redemption. John 3:16 has had that effect on many people. That's why even though our lesson from the gospel for today is John 3:1-17, we're going to focus our attention on this one verse. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in miniature. If you were in my confirmation class, then who's back there? Jeremy, Chinene, Andrew's downstairs. Who else is back there? Janet? I can't see, but if you were in confirmation class, you know that John 3:16 is what? The gospel in what? Uh-oh. We learned it's the gospel in a nutshell. Oh, now remember. You see, if you had the New Testament instead of 27 books, then this one verse would be enough to save your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's all you need to know. We've heard this beautiful verse so often, we're tempted to take it for granted. But have you ever thought what it would mean if you just change one or two key words in this sentence? Let's change one verb. For God so rejected the world. Makes a big difference in the sentence, doesn't it? It nearly happened in the story of Noah, didn't it? God nearly rejected the world, but instead he placed a rainbow in the sky as a symbol of a covenant that he was making with humanity never to flood the earth again. But that's how it could have read. God so rejected the world. Or we could change the first noun. It could read like this: for God so loved Israel. That's what many of the Israelites believe. They believed because they were God's chosen people, that meant that God loved them more than the other people of the earth. The prophets had to remind them that they were chosen to be a light to the other peoples and not that God loved them more. Of course, the verse could read, for God so loved America. It does read that way, by the way, in case any of you might have any doubt. Or it could read, for God so loved nice people. But it doesn't read that way either. It says, for God so loved who? The world. That's everybody. The rich, the poor, the beautiful, the ugly, the saint, the sinner, the criminal, the law-abiding person, the male, the female. God so loved the world. Or we could tinker with the second half of the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave it a stern warning. Now, God did give many stern warnings to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, but they rarely did much good. The people still went their own way. Nothing much made a difference until God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son. How about if we just change the last few words in the last half of the sentence? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to tell us how to be happy and comfortable in life. That one sounds good. A lot more people would probably be won to Christianity if we made the last sentence our motto, but that's not how it reads either. This morning, we're going to spend some time with this little verse, John 3:16. Listen again to this verse and consider what a world of difference it would make if even one word were changed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Last week, we kicked off the season of Lent by focusing on the goodness of God. If you understand God's goodness, we noted, you will trust God's plan. This week, we're focusing on another aspect of God's character, and that character is love. There's nothing in this entire universe that can compare with God's love. Some of you are probably fans of the veteran actress and singer Cher. She's been around a long time. But she still looks young, and we all know why. It's not by accident. Cher likes to make fun of her many plastic surgeries and beauty treatments. She says, I'm the female equivalent of a counterfeit $20 bill. Half of what you see is a pretty darn good reproduction. The rest is a fraud. When we compare human life, full of selfishness and pettiness and prejudice, to God's holy, sacrificial, unending love, we can see immediately that human love is often a counterfeit love. half of it is a pretty darn good reproduction, but the rest is a fraud. How do we measure what real love is? John 3:16 is what real love is all about. For God so loved the world. The verse begins by announcing that God loved us all. God loved us all, even before we loved him. It would be nice if it said that we first love God. The truth of the matter is, however, that human beings are actually not very adept at this love business. We are well-meaning, but if there is one lesson from human history, it's that we can hate just as easily as we can love. We can even hate in the name of him whose very nature is love. How many injustices, how many cruel and hateful things have been done in the name of God? Because we've perverted our understanding of who God is, because we've perverted religion, because we've taken on some, remember I'm in the pulpit, take on some form or shape that we want to call Christianity. And out of that misguided, misinformed, misshaped understanding of Christianity, we've carried out hatred. We've carried out genocide. We've carried out all kinds of things. We can hate even in the name of him whose very nature is love. There's another place in John's writing in which he says something profound about love. In 1 John 4:8, we read these powerful words: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Then in verse 10, John adds, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Think about those words for a moment. Whoever does not love does not know God. It always amazes me to discover how often people have hated in the name of God. They certainly cannot justify such vile behavior in the New Testament. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13 how Paul wrote, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledges, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You see, this is what the gospel is all about, love. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why does John say that? Because God is the measure of real love, and it is only by God's Spirit that we are able to know and share real love. God is love. It's as simple as that. God loved us before we were even capable of loving him in return. That's always a risk, isn't it? Remember when you were coming up and you had your little crush on somebody and you tried to figure out how to let them know that you liked them? It always amazed me how cruel little boys could be when they had a little crush on a girl. They chase you through the schoolyard. They throw things at you. This was their way of, you know, expressing their affection. Oh, you all know you did it. Ed, didn't you? James Collier, Jim Young, Ed Chang Soon, Mr. Peterson. We had a difficult time, and little girls had a difficult time too, trying to express that they loved or that they had a crush on a little boy. What kind of things would we do? I forgot.
Throw stuff.
No, we didn't throw stuff. We were more coy. Little girls were more coy. They'd grin and they'd smile. And they'd always kind of be around. human beings have had a hard time expressing affection. We've had a hard time knowing how to put your heart out there and hope that the other person feels the same way about you. But God didn't wait for us to love him. God knew we would break his heart. God loved us knowing full well that we would never be able to return his love. His love was truly unconditional. A very compassionate woman named Renee Denfield adopted a little girl from the foster care system in her city. 3 years later, a caseworker called and said she had another child Renee might be interested in. He was just a toddler, but he's already suffered a great deal in his short life, she said. The little boy named Tony had been bounced from one foster home to another. His rage and his acting out were too much for other families to handle. But the caseworker believed that Renee, who grew up in an abusive family herself, had the love and toughness to get through to this scared little boy. The little fellow named Tony was destructive and unpredictable and lashed out at everyone who tried to love him. As Renee wrote in an article for the New York Times, when he raged, I told him I loved him. I told him over and over. Renee reports that it took years before Tony's rages subsided. But one day, he was in the middle of playing on the floor when he looked up at her and said simply, you brought me home. I love you too. How long did she have to wait to hear those words? How many temper tantrums and destructive outbursts did she have to endure? It doesn't seem to matter. She was determined to love Tony forever, even if he could never love her back. Notice that John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved good people who loved God back. It says, for God so loved the world. No limitations, no exclusions, no maybes, no fine print. Are you part of this world? Then you are completely lovable in God's sight. God loved us first. That's the first thing we need to see. And here's the second thing this verse tells us, how much God loves us. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, his most precious gift. It's easy to say, I love you. People say it all the time. Sometimes they even mean it. But it's a different thing, however, to put love into action. Last week I told you about a love message that fell short. Let me tell you about another love letter. A young man, in trying to express his undying love, commitment, and affection for his fiance, wrote a letter. I love you so much. Nothing will ever come between us. He used the words of the old Marvin Gaye song, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. I love you so passionately. Signed, John. P.S. I won't be able to be with you and your family for the upcoming holiday. My friend was able to get tickets on the 50-yard line of the Jets and the Bears game on Thanksgiving Day. We know how to love, but sometimes we have a hard time trying to implement it. Another letter is in the form of a dialogue. One member of the couple wrote, but are you ready to be there when I'm mad or when I need to cry and when I'm unable to do things that I can't do with anyone else but you? And the response was, oh, yes, I am ready, my dear, unless I'm eating fried chicken. What? So chicken is more important than me? And the response came, only fried chicken. And only when I'm hungry. But if not, then you are the only thing I care about. John Robert Fox was an artillery officer who served in the U.S. Army in World War II. In December 1944, he and his unit was assigned to patrol an area in Tuscany in Italy that had been overrun by Nazi soldiers. Fox and a handful of his men joined a small troop of Italian soldiers in a small Tuscan village. All the residents of that village had already fled. Fox and his small band of soldiers hid in an abandoned house in the village and reported to their fellow soldiers back in their base camp on the movement of Nazi troops through the town. Imagine the surprise of Fox's fellow soldiers at the base camp when he radioed a set of bombing coordinates to them and ordered them to begin shelling a certain neighborhood in that village. Here's why they were surprised. You see, the coordinates were very close to where Fox and his men were hiding. The gunner who received the order deliberately changed the coordinates slightly to protect this small African-American troop. A second time, Fox radioed in and ordered the gunner to bomb the coordinates he had sent. The gunner argued with Fox. It was too close to his hiding place. He was putting himself and his men in danger. Fox radioed back a third time. He made it clear to the gunner that he knew what he was doing. The house they were hiding in was surrounded by Nazi soldiers. John Roberts Fox's last words were, "Fire it! There's more of them than there are of us." Fox and this small troop of soldiers were laying down their own lives to defeat the Nazi troops. The gunner ordered the bombing strike. A large number of Nazi soldiers were abolished in the strike, along with Fox and his men. Their sacrifice gave the American troops time to regroup and launch a successful counterattack. The Allied troops regained the village and drove out the forces. In 1997, John Robert Fox was finally and posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for his gallant and courageous actions at the supreme sacrifice of his own life. To give up your own life to ensure that others can live, is there any greater love than this? God loved us first. God loved us enough that he gave his one and only son. But why did he give his son? And you know the answer. That whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal, everlasting life. Do you believe in him? I mean, really believe in him. Last week we said belief is one thing and trust is another. So I guess when I ask if you really believe, I mean, do you believe enough to trust? Would you be willing to give your life for him as he did for you? And we said earlier, it's easy to say, "I love you." It's another to put love in action. Let me tell you one more true story. Alfred Vanderbilt was the great-grandson of billionaire businessman Cornelius Vanderbilt. There was nothing particularly praiseworthy about how Alfred lived his life. He used his massive inheritance to invest in real estate and horses, to throw lavish parties, but here's why we remember Alfred Vanderbilt. In 1915, he set sail on the British ocean liner, the Lusitania, heading toward London. At the time, Europe was embroiled in World War I. But nobody thought that enemy troops would attack a civilian ship. Sadly, they were wrong. German U-boats attacked the Lusitania as it sailed off the coast of Ireland. As a first-class passenger, Vanderbilt was guaranteed a life jacket and a seat on one of the first lifeboats leaving the ship. That's how they did it in those days. However, Alfred Vanderbilt refused his rights. He gave away his life jacket and his seat on the lifeboat. As the ship slowly sank into the water, Vanderbilt focused on getting as many children into the lifeboats as possible. He died saving others. A New York Times journalist described his last moments as gallantry which no words of mine can describe. How do you describe a love that is unearned, undeserved, given freely and generously and sacrificially for the sake of everyone? whether they can ever return that love or not. God had a million reasons to condemn the world, but he didn't. God saved the world by giving the absolute greatest gift he could give. And God made us a promise that whoever believes, yes, whoever believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ, will not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Have you accepted this promise in your own life? You see, that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the gospel in a nutshell. God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of response, since I told you how it was composed, let's try to sing it. Now, I grew up with this. You know, this is one of the first hymns I learned to play. One of the first hymns I played, and we used to sing, "On a hill far away, stood in a rugged cross." We don't want to sing it like that. We want to sing it with joy.
Amen.
Let us stand. Rock of Ages. Doesn't it sound like the old missionary evangelist camps that you see on the TV?
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the
from thy wounded
this side which flow be a sin. Double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's commands. Could my zeal no swifter know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone.
Thou save and thou alone.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, judgment throne, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Please be seated. By the way, that's a rendition of, that's not the original, that's a rendition that was done, I think, about 25 years after the original was written in 1913. Just for your information, in case that ever comes up on a Jeopardy question, then you'll know that there are two editions of Rock of Ages.
Ushers, would you please come forward as we offer our tithes and gifts to God?
I want Jesus.
Please be seated. Turn your attention to our prayer list. We are glad to see Mary Ann Hendricks with us this morning. Still on the mend, but we keep her in our prayers as well as all those who are listed. We do continue our prayers for the family, Letitia and her family. As we indicated, Ama is in a hospice facility in upstate New York, and so the family is constantly by her side as we await and sadly await the day for her passing. Mary and Greg Whited, she continues to ask for your prayers. She's coming back home today, but and she has some other treatments to do, so we would keep her lifted in prayer. Renee and her daughters, Renee and Yvette, both came through their surgeries well, and so they are on the recovery list. We also would include in our prayers this morning prayers for the family of Miss Debbie Samaru, friend of Min and Frederick's. She asks that you would keep that family in your prayers for their many concerns. Also, Gloria Jenkins, who is in Hackensack Hospital. She went yesterday and should be there for 3 or 4 days as they try to get her rehydrated. Edna Anderson sends this card of thanksgiving for beautiful celebration of her retirement from Loaves and Fishes and ministry to this church. And she indicates, "I thank all who planned it, prepared the food, and those who attended. I received beautiful gifts and cards, and I am humbled and honored by the blessing. Thanks be to God," from Edna Anderson. Let us then, as the people of God, join together in prayer. You call us to righteousness. O God, our Creator, in accordance with your covenant made long ago and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, you promised to the descendants of Abraham and Sarah the righteousness that comes by trusting your will. You've sent Jesus Christ as the guarantor of our hope, since he was faithful to you in all ways. Oh God, you seal our inheritance at baptism in Christ's name as a sign of our cleansing by your grace, in company with all those whom down through the ages you've called as the people of faith. We give you thanksgiving this morning and the honor due your glorious name. As we continue our journey in quest of your promised land, send your spirit to accompany us as a source of guidance and strength. As we continue our journey, we pray that Jesus will walk with us each and every step of the way. In times of trouble, in times of illness, in times of mourning, in times of grief, in times of chaos, in times of just waiting, we pray, oh God, that your spirit will guide us and that Jesus will hold our hand all along this tedious journey. Lord, we come confessing that we fear to leave the security we've gained. We've put our faith in things rather than you. Therefore, decisions are not easy when our own comfort is at stake. So, Lord, again, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us courage and the clarity that we need. Clarity in how and why we need to place our trust in you rather than just our words. We carry with us a heavy burden of past failure and present guilt. So, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to assure us of your acceptance and forgiveness in Christ, so that relieved of our own burden, we may ease the burden of others. The demands of the gospel lead us into paths unknown. And Lord, we confess that we fear the risk. Our hope quickly fades. Our confidence wanes. May the Holy Spirit give us the boldness that we need. Abraham, Sarah, and Lot left their homeland as they bade, as you told them to. We followed their example as children called by Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would look with favor upon us as we seek to walk boldly in faith. May our journey be charted according to your design. May our steps be strengthened. May our gait be steady. And may the course that we follow be in line with the path that Jesus walked for our sake. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
power and glory, hallowed be thy name.
come to the close of our time of worship, we invite you to share with us in a time of fellowship. And we're going to look through the door and see anybody that starts stepping in, and we'll know that they didn't move their clock ahead. So don't embarrass them. Just kind of give them a tie-way greeting. Peace be with you. Let us stand for our closing hymn. My song is Love Unknown, number 76, verses 1, 2, and 5. Go now and live before God in openness and integrity. Set your minds on the ways of God, not clinging to your own life, but taking up your cross and following Jesus. And may God give you a share in the eternal covenant. May Christ Jesus be proud of you when he comes in glory. And may the Holy Spirit make you grow strong in faith and lead you in the ways of righteousness. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, let the people of God say, amen.